You're listening to the show that talks about stuff the others can't, don't, or won't. The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Well, listen, to be honest, I owe Melinda Esterbrooks a bit of a thanks for this next guest. Melinda.
It's kind of a frightening thing.
I know. I hate owing Melinda anything. Melinda, as many of you will know, co-hosts our show every once in a while, or while I'm away, takes over the show. And when I say take over, I do mean that.
Amen.
And you will remember her from television up here in Southern Ontario. But anyway, look, she said, saw this guy, Randy Roberts Potts, on what was the show again?
Rosie.
On Rosie. And what a great, you got to get this guy on. So I said, okay, all right. So lo and behold, we reached out and we were able to get a hold of him. Randy Roberts Potts joins us at this particular moment on the Drew Marshall Show. Randy, how are things, man?
Great. How are you doing, Drew?
Pretty good. Where are you?
I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. What is Dallas, Texas mostly known for? It's not the Cowboys anymore. I mean, well, maybe aside from their criminal records.
Right, that or the heat. It's about 100 degrees today. That's all I think about.
Man, that's filthy hot. Now, listen, when I was introducing you earlier in our show, I we used the tagline, the gay grandson of televangelist Oral Roberts. Are you not sick of that title?
Yeah, no, I actually am. My husband makes fun of me. He calls me ORGG, which is Oral Roberts' gay grandson, and he thinks I need a cape because I get a little tired of being ORGG sometimes.
Well, I can imagine, and I know that, as we go through your story here, we'll jump ahead a little bit on this, and then we'll come back and kind of do the whole chronological thing, but I know that your mom, has left you messages on your answering machine saying, why do you have to keep dragging the family name through the dirt, right?
Right, right.
And part of me, if I was to be honest, hopefully you know enough, or maybe you looked at my website and realized this is not an ambush interview. But if I was to be fair and honest in how I was processing all this, I got to say, there is a part of me that kind of goes, well, if you were the gay grandson of Stephen Brown, no one would give a holy grunt.
Right. True.
So I guess, it is a bit of a shtick. It is a bit of, who you are, because that is your story. And you're moving forward. Is there any part of you, Randy, that just wants to stop associating with that part of your life, and stop telling that story?
I definitely never wanted to have that be, my title or anything. When it started was I made a It Gets Better video, and that kind of went viral, and then people started asking me to talk and stuff. But I had never wished, most of my friends at the time didn't even know who my grandfather was or anything. It wasn't something that I really mentioned much. But at the same time, it is something that seems to help a lot of people to understand that even in families like the Roberts family, there are, gay people. And I think, so to that extent, I'm happy to speak up if it helps people out there to get past whatever they're afraid of.
Well said, very well said. So let's set up the story here. First of all, if you're not familiar, if you're thinking, Oral Roberts, how do I know that name? Well, first of all, I think he probably came to fame the most, or he came into people's television sets the most when he said that he needed to raise $8 million, otherwise God would take him home. He would die. Don't you think that's the number one, that's at the top of the Oral Roberts recognition scale?
Yeah, that's definitely kind of his last hurrah, his last big, moment on TV or whatever, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And when I saw him just prior to passing, he passed in his 90s, did he not?
Mm-hmm, right.
He seemed gentler. Am I wrong in picking up on that, or did he sort of soften a little bit as he got older, like really old?
No, he really did. The last, I'd say, at least 5 years of his life, he softened quite a bit, and enough to even, I sat down with him at one point, right about 6 months before he died, and we had the best talk, the longest talk we'd ever had my whole life. So he definitely softened in a lot of ways those last few years. I think that happens to a lot of men, though, or people when they're older.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, that's kind of like God saying, look, I'm giving you lots of years so you can screw your head on straight, buddy.
Right.
I hope he gives me a few more, because I got a few things I got to work out. One thing, speaking of things I got to work out, pardon me for mentioning this, but this has nothing to do with the conversation whatsoever. But when I think of Oral Roberts' last days on television, do you know your grandfather had the biggest ears of any man I'd ever seen in my life?
He does. They're huge. He's Cherokee Indian, and he just, I think they grew. Like, I've heard your ears grow your whole life, and his must have been an exponential rate, because they're just these. His nose as well, if you look at his later period, his nose and his ears just keep getting bigger. And it just.
First of all, what kind of a jerk brings that up in this kind of a conversation? Sorry about that, but.
No.
Let's talk about growing up in the compound. Now, I'm trying to imagine this. See, I grew up in a funeral home, and it was sort of like a compound. A lot of friends didn't want to come over and play, and I was, I was allowed pretty much run of the place, but I certainly couldn't go certain places at certain times. You had the magic key that opened every door, though, right?
Well, I didn't have it. I would get it from my mother sometimes, so it wasn't like my key, but sometimes she would loan it to me, and I'd go run around the campus and everything.
And they had the double fence?
Oh, yeah. The compound had an electrified fence and a big stockade fence and barbed wire and, you know, round-the-clock security guards and all that jazz.
And did Grandpa, do we call him Grandpa? Is that?
No, I actually called him Andy, oddly enough.
Okay.
It was the first grandchild tried to say granddaddy, and it just somehow came out Andy, and then that just stuck. So.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to keep calling him that in this interview, because people are going to tune in and go, who's Andy? Why do we care about Andy?
Right.
Anyway, so your grandfather, Oral Roberts, which is a heck of a lot harder to say than Andy. I read this, and you have to tell me if this is true or not, because you would know. Were there tunnels built so that he could kind of get from one area to the next without people bugging him?
Well, they weren't tunnels per se, like between buildings, but there were back tunnel entrances into every building so that he didn't have to go through the front. So he actually had like a little tunnel that would go into a private garage in every building. So he could go in the garage, go to his own elevator or whatnot, and get to his office. So it wasn't like huge, you know, mile-long tunnels, but they were, you know, these little things that, for each building that he had.
See, I always wonder about this sort of thing. Like, for example, when Benny Hinn came here to Canada and was on one of the big God television shows here, you know, he refused to walk by a big green garbage dumpster. Well, listen, when you're wearing that kind of white suit all the time, you don't want to walk by dirty stuff, right? So,
yeah, Benny Hinn, I mean, to me, he makes Oral look tame. Benny's really out there.
So I understand that Grandpa Oral Roberts, as we're going to keep calling him, had a rather large house?
Yeah. It was really big. It was, I'm guessing, like, you know, 3,500, maybe 4,000 square feet. So really big. But, you know, now I hear all these stories of rich people that have, you know, 10,000, 20,000 square feet houses. So it wasn't, you know, like some 20-story mansion, but it was, to me, it was huge as a kid.
I read somewhere it was like 6,000 square feet. So anyway, you know, from a guy who lives in a 1,500 square foot house, you know.
I think mine's 1,100.
Oh, you are so more humble than I am.
Yeah,
and is it true that your mother, Roberta, was paid $1,000 to make sure that your middle name was Roberts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she told me that story my whole life. And she actually said I could change my name because she already got the money. But I always wonder why I didn't get the money, because she sold my name.
Okay, so growing up in the basically, if he's not the founder, then he was one of the founders of the whole seed faith ministry, give to me and God will bless you, you know, kind of stuff. If I've got your story right, around the age of 7, you became aware of your same-sex attraction?
Well, however you want to call it, I knew around, you know, age even 5 or 6 that I was looking at boys and not girls. I mean, I didn't use the word gay, but I knew that. My example is when watching the Dukes of Hazzard, you know, all the boys were watching Daisy, and I was, like, stunned by Bo and Luke. They were just both so beautiful. And so I knew it at that point, but I didn't know what it meant, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm acquaintances with John Schneider. I'll tell him you said so.
Please do. If I were single, I'd like a date.
Okay. Okay. And then, but really couldn't actually use the word, you know, gay, from what I hear, until you were like in your 20s.
Right. I really resisted that. I even, by the time I was 18, I told close friends that I was bi. And I even told the woman that I ended up marrying that I was bi. But I just couldn't, to me, gay was just, it was wrong. It was this thing that I couldn't associate myself with. So, for like for many men, bi was a way to kind of say, okay, I have these same-sex attractions, but I'm also pretty normal.
Yeah, yeah. You see, and then here's the part of the story where people's heads turn a little bit. They go, whoa. This isn't just the, you know, a Christian patriarchal family has a gay guy that has grown up and a gay grandson. No, you got married and had three kids, dude.
Right.
And the kids are what now? They're like 9, 11, and 12 or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I have met guys who are married who have kids that I swear are gay, and then, you know, given enough time, something comes out that would even clarify it further. And I just, you know, I have a mixed reaction with that. I you know, there's a part of me that thinks, dude, that has got to be the loneliest existence in the world.
Yeah, I've met some men that tell me that it works. For me, we got married when we were 20, and we would have ended up divorced, gay or straight. It was, you know, we just, the last 5 years we fought and had counseling and everything. But definitely me being gay just meant it makes it so hard to truly connect with someone that you're supposed to be married with when there isn't that aspect of the marriage, like sexual desire. It's just, and it really frustrated me because in my head, I felt like I should be able to get past that, and I wasn't able to, and that was really frustrating for me.
How are things with your ex-wife these days?
They're fine. We live pretty close, and we share the kids equally, so, you know, I have them for a week, she has them for a week, and, you know, we when we talk, it's about, you know, soccer practice or whatever, so... Hmm.
And your mom and dad, and I know you've talked a bit about your mom, but I haven't seen much, you know, when I was doing the research on you, where you talk about your dad.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a whole lot to say. He and I have never been that close. So my mom and I were closer when I was a kid, I guess, and she's been the one that's most outspoken about how bad it is that I'm gay, and he just doesn't really comment on it.
Does it not feel worse? I mean, at least, you know, you know where your mom stands and, you know, it might be hurtful, et cetera, but when your dad is just, hate is not the worst thing, indifference is.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It definitely is, it's easier to deal with someone who's, you know, griping at you because you feel like at least they care at some level.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, so obviously, I don't know your whole story, but come on, seriously, Randy, somewhere you must have headed in some bad depression funk.
Yeah. A lot. Often. Definitely.
Did you get suicidal, do you think?
Yeah, I did. I had different times, probably, you know, once a year, every few years for a lot of my, you know, teenage and then 20s. The worst was in my late 20s, and I just, it was when I really came out to myself, and I knew I was gay, but I had these beautiful children, and I had a wife that I loved, and even though we weren't getting along, I wanted to make it work, but I didn't see any good option at all. And so I just wanted to die, and I would have these fantasies that my car would hit a tree or that, you know, in some way my life would just end. And that lasted quite a while. It just, I didn't see any good out.
Man, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. And, you know, I've often said that one of the loneliest places is to be in spiritual leadership and be struggling with some sort of sexual issue, because that's just something we still don't really talk about very much. We're getting better as, you know, as a tribe of Jesus people. But then to struggle with same-sex attraction, man. This is what your grandfather, this is a quote I read from that magazine article that you pointed me to. And so Oral Roberts once said, "When it comes to homosexuality, it's not only wild, it's insane. And the heat becomes so intense, the sexual heat becomes so intense, the male organ doesn't want the vagina of the woman, but to turn that person over and to enter into the rear where the poison comes out, and it keeps coming out until they develop AIDS with no immunity against disease, and they die. They die."
Yeah. That's my grandfather.
Wow.
And, you know, that was when he gave that speech. I think it was late 70s, early 80s-ish, somewhere around that time. And that's when he was dealing with his oldest son being gay. And I think it just, you know, he was so angry about it and resentful that he couldn't change or, in his mind, heal his son. And I think it just caused this incredible fear. And he was convinced that AIDS would strike you down if you were gay. That was just, he was convinced of it.
So Uncle Ronnie, again, we're just talking about the struggle and the, you know, you're in this family and the Oral Roberts family and his own son, eldest son, Ronnie, is struggling with his own sexual identity and basically gets himself into trouble, right? He was just,
right.
I don't know, and inevitably he kills himself.
Right, right. Yeah, and he struggled for, I mean, he was kind of like me. He told people even in high school, and apparently his parents even, that he was gay. He knew he liked men, yada, yada. But that was in the, you know, what, early 60s, and he just, there was no thought for him of coming out. And he married a girl who was his best friend, and they were, they had a long relationship. But again, it was just that thing of, you know, how do you be with someone and have a whole committed relationship when you're gay and you're in a straight relationship. And he ended up, unfortunately, on prescription pain medicine that he couldn't get off of. And he tried for years and ended up committing suicide. And I didn't know any of that. That was a big family secret. I'm the only one that talks about it publicly. But to me, it's the kind of thing that you have to get out there, because it's the kind of thing that happens in families that take that approach. You know, it's,
you know, people ask me a lot because of the show that I do, you know, what's your take on the gay stuff, Drew? How do you know? And I got to say, you know, more often than not, because it's a larger discussion for me. I can't give a soundbite, otherwise I'll sound like Kirk Cameron, and that's never good.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But I inevitably say I just haven't got it all figured out yet. I just don't. I mean, when you said, you know, my husband and I, you know, Randy, being honest, there's still a part of me that goes, whoa, husband, really?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, I would say 5 years ago, that idea, I mean, I heard it a few times and I would just burst out laughing. That sounded so ridiculous. And I had kind of 5 years to adjust to it. But I get that. I mean, I don't think we understand sexuality at all anyway. And so to understand sexuality that isn't ours is even, you know what I mean?
My very well said.
He's convinced that all people are actually gay because he just can't wrap his head around it, and he's like, they're just pretending and they're just wanting to make babies. He just can't imagine, like, ever having that feeling for a woman. It's so foreign to him. And I can, I can imagine it because I tried so hard to make my marriage work, but he just, you know, can't even imagine it or wrap his head around it.
Yeah. Okay, again, folks, we're on the phone with Randy Roberts Potts. And his middle name is $1,000 worth, named after his grandfather, Oral Roberts. And, okay, so where are you at with the God stuff? You know, because I can just imagine some of the listeners going, well, okay, he's gay, that's fine. You know, he's probably not, he doesn't love Jesus, so he can do whatever he wants. I know a number of gay people who have grown up in the Jesus scene and really felt that they had to choose between homosexuality or Jesus. And because, for whatever reason, they've chosen homosexual and they've walked away from their faith. So I don't know what your answer is.
Well, to me, that choice was handed to them by their church. And that was the same thing for me. It was either or. It was either, you know, you honor who you are as a human being or you stay with us in this church. But you can't have both. And so I don't think it was a choice that people wanted to make, but that was the choice handed to them. And that's the choice I felt for sure. So I went through years where I was angry about Christianity, especially the variety I grew up in, which was, you know, all the jumping and shouting and Pentecostal type thing. And then I, for a long time, I called myself Buddhist, but I never felt like calling myself Buddhist meant I wasn't Christian anymore. It was more of a way of saying, I want to find a way back to God without all the baggage and the hurt that I feel when I walk into a church. But even that phase has passed. And nowadays, I really don't like to use a word. I'm someone who has the same values and morals I grew up with. I still have this belief that when I pray, there's someone that listens to me. But I don't feel like there's one religion that just has a monopoly on what, you know, who that God is. And so I don't use a label for myself, but I also don't feel like I'm non-Christian or anti-Christian or anything like that. So whatever that means, that's how I feel about, I mean, I'm still a very spiritual person. I don't have the conflicts with it I did, say, in my 20s, but I also don't feel like I want to tell people that, you know, like, say, Christianity is the only way. Because I have met people from all religions that I respect, and that when we talk, I realize we are talking about the same God, the same things.
Right, right. Wow. So now you're really pissing your family off, because not only are you gay, you're a pluralist.
whatever you want to call
it. No, just, I'm kidding. Okay, so here's an interesting thing, which when I first read, I thought, oh, really? And then I thought about it, and I thought, man, that is pretty smart. So I want to talk about the gay agenda.
Okay.
Which apparently you compare it with Seinfeld, basically a show about nothing.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So, Tim, I want you to listen to this. Tim the Tool is my engineer over here,
sir.
And I need him to listen to this.
Okay.
So if I'm going to lay this out, Randy, and you tell me if I got this right, okay?
Okay.
You rent out a storefront, you know, window or whatever.
Right.
And you and your partner, or now your husband, go in there and you set it up like it's a living room or a kitchen kind of a scenario, and you basically you got some magazines on the table, some things here, you know, it looks like anybody's little apartment basically.
Right.
And you know, you cook a meal over the stove, and you know, get some Kool-Aid from the fridge or whatever. Does anybody still drink Kool-Aid, by the way? And people walk by, and you know, you're expressing the mundane lifestyle that you have chosen.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and it's not actually always me and my husband. It's in the future, it'll be other couples. We sort of have modeled it, but the whole idea is that people always say, "Well, you're choosing this lifestyle," or there is this gay agenda out there, and I'm saying, yeah, you know, we do have an agenda, and it's to be loved and accepted, and it's pretty simple, and we do have a lifestyle, and here it is. It's the same lifestyle, and if you watch it for more than a few minutes, it's, you know, it's incredibly boring. That, you know, if you think about what people look like in their house, it's really boring. So yeah. We want to take this through more and more towns, especially through the South and more conservative areas, as a very, you know, we're not doing anything ostentatious that people can get too upset about. It's more of a subtle suggestion, putting this idea in their head that, you know, this really is all there is to it.
Isn't that interesting?
It's very interesting.
You know, because whenever I think of gay agenda, I think of gay sex, and I think of gay pride or gay parades. That's what I think of, you know, and trying to ram stuff down the educational system, and
or
we're here, we're queer, get used to it.
Or it's also the idea of sneaking it in.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. And, you know, that whole, what you just said about people jumping to sex is really true. And, it, you know, for instance, if two, like, 90-year-old people want to get married, I don't jump to the fact that if I imagine them in bed, that just makes me cringe. That would be horrible. I just give them the benefit of the doubt that they love each other and they want to get married, and I don't really think about the bedroom. And what I'm asking for is for people to grant us the same sort of thing of, okay, yeah, if you thought about it, it's not your thing, it might sound gross, but just don't think about it. It's really 99% of what we do, unfortunately, isn't sex. You know, we'd love to have more, but most of what we do is cooking and eating and watching movies, you know.
Hey, Randy, were you barred from attending your grandmother's funeral?
Well, I went to my grandmother's funeral, but there was the family section under the tent where the coffin was and everything, I tried to go into. I thought that there was a seat for me, and I walked up, and the security guard wouldn't let me in, and I told him, I said, well, this is my name, that's my grandmother. He said, I know exactly who you are, and you're not allowed in. And that was shocking to me, and I just bawled my head off. And
you were pretty close to your grandmother, weren't you?
I was very, I hadn't been, like, talking to her a lot, like every week or something, the last few years of her life. But I was, growing up, I saw her twice a week, and I was very close to her, yeah.
Now, is this Oral's wife or a different grandmother?
Oral's wife, yeah.
Okay. Here's a little blurb again that I took from, by the way, a great article. Can we just give credit to the person I'm ripping off of? What was that article you told me to read again?
Yeah, in Details Magazine by Jonathan Miles, Johnny Miles.
She's giving her speech about her father and then looks out into the audience and sees me. This is you talking about your mother. She didn't even know I was there or not, but she saw me and lost it. Just went off and started saying, there are people who will tell you you won't go to hell for evil acts, and I just want everybody to know that you will. 4,000 people were looking at their shoes, and it was really uncomfortable. My mom's telling me from the stage that I'm going to hell. Right, yeah. That was at your grandfather's funeral.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, definitely one of the most intense memories I have. It's and that's the last time that my mother and I have spoken. And we hadn't spoken for 4 years before that. But
well, look,
I remember,
man,
it very well.
It saddens me how you have been rejected. You should never, ever have to taste that much rejection. No one should ever have to face that much rejection. And the fact that it came from Jesus' people angers me. And the fact that it's screwed up, it's got to be the number one, played the number one role. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but I would imagine it would be that kind of rejection would play the massive role I was going to say in screwing up your relationship with God, but it sounds like, you know, there's some interesting things happening in your life now spiritually, and, you know, my spiritual life sucks, so who am I to, you know, say that you're weird spiritually? But at the same time, you know, let me ask you, let's finish with this, man. How do you feel about Jesus?
You know what? I have a lot of mixed feelings. I basically, you know, like, we had a marriage service, and a minister married us and everything, but we didn't have the word Jesus in there, but we, you know, had God and that kind of thing. And I still have a little, I call it evangelical PTSD. I just have this cringe factor when I hear that name, and it's nothing to do with who I think, you know, Jesus really was, because I love reading Jesus' words, and I think he was revolutionary and wonderful, but just that word and all the, you know, people shouting it at me and using it to tell me how horrible I am, you know, I just have this cringe thing from the word, even though I completely respect his mission and all of that. So I guess the best I can say is I have mixed feelings about that.
Oh, man, what a story. What a story. Dude, what a life. Randy, I really appreciate you sharing your guts on our show, and, I feel like, saying a whole bunch more I'm sorrys, but it's going to sound a little trite at this point because, you know, I don't really know you, but I just feel like crap at the kind of junk you had to go through in the Jesus tribe. Not cool at all.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, though, it makes me stronger in the long run. The fact that, because I barely survived, but I did survive. And then it also, I think, hopefully, I just hope that when I talk to people like you, you know, it starts to help other people change their minds about how we approach this. Because I don't even expect everybody to all of a sudden say, okay, gay is okay and blah, blah, blah. But definitely the approach that churches have today is wrong, and it's causing kids to get depressed and kill themselves, and we have to find some way out of that.
Definitely.
We have to.
Definitely. Well said. Randy Roberts Potts. That's the name of the website as well, if you want to send him a note or follow his whatever he's doing in life. Randy Roberts Potts, POTTS.com. Randy, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Drew.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Ugh. I'm still processing that stuff. We'll be right back.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
Years ago, after 5 years of pastoring in Australia, Drew Marshall moved back to Canada and, with absolutely zero broadcasting experience, walked into the studios of Joy 1250 and pitched the idea of hosting a talk show that was different. Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is now listened to by over 100,000 people around southern Ontario and thousands more by Canadians coast to coast. On September 15, 2012, the Drew Marshall Show will start season 10. And as a thank you for putting up with Drew for 10 years, we've decided to cut all advertising costs by 10%. Doesn't matter which plan you're interested in. 1250 specials, 10% off. One-day advertising package, 10% off. Our summer holiday special, 10% off. Or even our 15-week advertising package is now 10% off. To sign up for one of our 10-year anniversary advertising specials, contact us today at drewmarshall.ca.